That's a meat song if I ever heard one. Producer Big Bri on the board here. Thanks for that bumper music, brother. Hey, Barbecue Bob's on sabbatical, taking one for the team in Key West. So here a couple lumps, me and our favorite butcher, Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats, is sitting in. Tim, we were talking a little bit on the break where we wanted to go next, and I want to hit the hog, okay? This is, from a barbecue guy's standpoint, this is the holy grail. This is what most everybody does, is some sort of pork on the smoker, on the grill. Maybe burgers and chicken, we'll get that later. But right now, when we talk about breaking down the hog, there's a whole series of chops that I want to go through, because those are most commonly grilled, is a pork chop, right?
Yep.
So I've got them from different parts of the animal. Let's start. I got five of them here: rib, loin, sirloin, double cut, and blade. Okay, so let's start with the rib chop. And what I want to do is kind of compare and contrast on, is this one more tender? Is it not? You know, bigger, smaller? What are we looking at?
Well, starting at the front of the hog, okay, the blade chop would be the first one.
Okay.
Would be equivalent to like a rib steak or in the front part of the chuck meat.
Okay.
There's a tail on. There's a little bit more fat in it, but it is so, so delicious.
Right.
Then into more of that center cut chop, okay, as you're working your way back.
And that's called a loin chop then?
Yep, that would be okay, a loin chop. And, well, more of the center cut. The loin's a little bit further down where okay, the tenderloin starts on the inside.
Okay.
And that would be, you know, more of on the beef, more of the rib steak, the T-bone.
Okay.
And then now into that loin chop where you get, if you were to think of like a T-bone steak, on the other side, like a porterhouse, you have the filet that's attached.
Right.
And that's the porterhouse, getting into that loin chop and porterhouse chop.
Okay, so is it similar to the cow, and then that loin is going to be more tender? It's probably not going to be as marbled as the other side of that chop bone, right? And what is the bone there that's between those two? Is it a vertebrae or?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, they call that the chine bone, but yeah, that's right, that's the vertebrae, the backbone,
right,
all the way down.
Right.
And So
when you're looking at it, you've got a big side and a small side in a hunk of beef. That's like a New York strip and a filet.
Correct.
Right? But in yep, the hog, it's they don't get separated very often.
Well, they will. That would be your boneless chop.
Okay.
And then just the tenderloin.
Right.
So that's okay, how they would separate.
But not in
out,
a piece, but you
correct,
buy the whole tenderloin
yeah,
and yep, in a whole part of that chop. Okay. So then if we keep moving down the rib cage, if you will, where we end up with a rib chop, or did we already covered that one?
We already got the rib, okay, and then we finish up like with that porter chop. The very last ones are in what would be like a sirloin chop,
okay,
is the very end in the sirloin steak and beef, sirloin chop in the pig.
Right, still very flavorful.
Yep,
very good. Any of those go on the grill just fine.
Absolutely.
Right. Recommendation is probably cut them a little thicker, so that you don't dry them out when you're cooking them, right?
Yep.
I mean, depends on the kind of grill. If you're smoking, you do an infrared charcoal gas grill, you know, the piece of equipment will affect how it turns out. But I think temperature is the key. What's your recommendation on a chop with an internal temperature?
I go 145. Okay. 145 actually, because in pork now they've eliminated trichinosis.
Okay.
So you can actually serve pork legally 2 degrees less than beef at 143.
Okay.
So go to 145 and pull them off, and they're going to be done. If you want to let it sit for just a few minutes, maybe, you know, your wife or friends, they just can't handle seeing anything that resembles pinkness in pork.
Right.
But it's fine. And then they're going to be juicier also.
Right. Just a better product off the grill.
Yeah.
And once again, the thermometer is your best friend when you're grilling.
I harp that more than anything else. You know, what's the best way? It doesn't matter, as you had mentioned, all the different ways to cook it. The internal temp really is what you're going for.
Right. Don't
get a good thermometer.
Right. You go beyond that. You go from tender and juicy to tough and hockey.
Yep.
Right? And
dry.
Might as well throw it on the ice and bat it around with a stick, because it's going to be taste the same no matter what you do with it if you overcook it.
Yeah.
Right?
Drier than a popcorn fart.
Right. That one. Exactly. Hey, if you're just tuning in, you listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Barbecue Bob's out on sabbatical. Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats and I are having a great conversation here about pork. So we got to go to the Holy Grail now. That's bacon. Right? You make your own bacon.
Yep.
So a lot of guys that we talk to, You mentioned earlier, it's your passion. If you use the analogy with a duck call, right? If you go buy a duck call, but if you're really into it, you might want to make your own. Well, can you do anything wrong with bacon on something? No, but making bacon, we just got done with Valentine's Day. That's crazy right there. But for making bacon, I want you to give us a few tips, because what piece of meat do I buy? You can't find them everywhere. You got to come to a custom butcher such as your shop. Take us through that process, what that looks like.
That's called the belly, which it seems it's, you think of just on your belly, but it's actually the outside fat meat that's on that pig that's taken off, but it's called a pork belly. You can use a dry rub to cure it and then smoke it. We use a wet brine and we soak it in there for a week. So our schedule is, you know, what we put in last week, we'll pull out this week to smoke. Fresh bellies came in this week. We'll put them in, you know, fresh brine. Never reuse the same brine.
Okay, always. And a brine consists of?
The brine is going to be water, a cure salt, and then whatever, maybe additional flake salt or brown sugar, whatever it is you want to put in there.
Right, and brines are as custom as each individual, right?
You correct.
You can pretty much put in there
whatever
what you
want.
Do. Yeah, probably a lot of information on the internet as far as a brine. Now, is the skin on the belly, or is the skin been removed on this pork belly?
We can get them in either way, but my opinion, I prefer skinless bellies.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you smoke it, then that outside layer that's the skin, where that smoke is going to hang on there, now you're ripping that off.
Right.
So my opinion, I prefer to have a skinless belly so that smoke is going to adhere to that bacon better.
Right. And we've all seen a slice of bacon, and that's what that is a skinless part of the belly. It's probably about 2 inches thick. You smoke it, it reduces a little bit. But when you're smoking this, do you use a thermometer in the bacon as well to determine when it's done? And if
absolutely.
So, what's that temperature look like on that?
We go to an internal temp of like about 145.
Okay.
On our bellies also. Technically, you could say, yeah, it would be done enough to eat it, but obviously you wouldn't want to eat that belly raw. I'll call it raw.
Right. At 145.
At 145.
It's still kind of raw, because most people are going to take that, chunk it, slice it. You're going to run it through a saw and get the thick cut or the thin cut.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
And then package it up, and that's the bacon that we buy, but it's really already been cooked to 145 degrees.
Correct. But you got to crispen it up a little bit,
right,
which is what brings out the flavor.
Right.
Just a thought, and again, that's why I use a wet brine, is the ones that are mass-produced, and they inject the brine into it. And in a packaged bacon, when you look at that package, you'll see a lot of juice that's in the bottom, is that residual brine that's left in there. If you're going to do this yourself, and that's why we do it this way too, once we take our bellies out of brine, we put them, we hang them before they go in the smokehouse.
Uh-huh.
And when you're done slicing them, they're not so full of that water weight. When you put it in the pan, it's not snapping and popping either. You know,
right?
Like you
yeah,
get the
right. Because the grease renders mixed with the moisture of the brine,
yep,
you're going to get spatters.
Fat and water
right.
don't mix.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Exactly. Exactly. Fat and me mix, and that's why we're talking about this. But cool. That's cool. Thanks, Tim, because I think a lot of people like to try to make bacon, and somebody that does thousands of pounds a week, that's good advice. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about that moo cow and see if we can cut some steaks off him as well. Stick with us. We'll be back.